Sports Show, episode number 242. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas. We are at the Casa de Cole Coffee, 72 degrees on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. The window is open. I'm taking a look at the palatial Casa de Coffee estate. We'll just throw it out there. Maybe the end of an era. It sounds like the palatial Casa de Casa de Cold Coffee Estate. Maybe up on the market soon.
It might be up on the market. Yeah, the place that I rent here in town. It's funny, when I first moved here, I was like, you know, I'll just rent some place. Maybe someday I'll buy whatever. You know, and at one point I was like, you know, maybe 3 years I'll stay here, 5 years, whatever. That's long since passed. You know, I realize that I like Vegas, but never got around to actually.
Wait, 7 years now?
Yeah. Just over 8 years, eight and a half years.
Jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so when the housing bubble burst, when I first got out here, like, rents and everything dropped, you know, housing, you know, all that other stuff. But it has since recovered and is way on the opposite end now. So now rents are sky high. And they just, it's time for me to renew my lease, and they are literally raising my rent.
20%, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. Almost $200 with the sewer and the trash, and it's just ridiculous. And so immediately my gut was like, all right, well, F you guys. Give me the shortest lease possible. I didn't want to do the month-to-month, because usually month-to-month they always screw you. So I started looking online to see all the different stuff, and right now, everything in Vegas rental wise is just sky high, and the sudden grief of realizing that how I've just been, you know, completely rammed up the rear with no reach around, and I have no relief. When you look around Vegas to try to find another property, it just doesn't look any better. But yeah, who knows? But eventually, I know.
Day.
Right now, looking out in the palatial estates of here. It could be changing, because at this point, you know, now I'm just pissed and I'm just like, F you guys, I want to find somewhere different.
The
you
stress
know.
Is real. I walked into the Casa de Cold Coffee and I could just sense the stress.
I know.
It's a rough day, but luckily you brought some medicine. Some frosty beverages here from our good friends at Latchkey Brewing. They're at Latchkey Brewing on Instagram if you want to check them out. Our boy Anthony Beach, he's the head brewer over there and he's a big MMA fan.
Is that how you have to say it? At Latchkey.
Yeah, that's in the contract. At anthony.m.beach on Instagram if you want to follow him. 1795 Hancock Street, San Diego, California. A fine establishment, and they are a big supporter of the MMA Roadshow. Right now, we're starting out with the San Diego 1915 Unfiltered Lager. According to the website.
It doesn't taste unfiltered.
This unfiltered rice lager is our pride and joy, taking over 3 months in tanks to perfect.
Whoa.
So unfiltered, but yet cared for.
Yeah, and because a lot of times you taste some of the unfiltered ones, and I think people get the idea that, oh, there's probably particulates, there's probably whatever.
No.
There are no particulates in it.
Crystal clear.
And it's very gentle. Is not. How do you
–
what's
like
the right
– gentle. I like it.
It's just very clean. It's
it
very clean and
me.
Crisp. But like you gave a good idea. You said that was like their version of like Corinne.
Yeah.
People like Corinne, which is a little bit different than Sapporo. But it's got – it definitely is something where I could see if we were – eating a nice little Asian dinner or whatever, that this would fit nicely, which San Diego does have a huge Asian population.
Look at you with the proper pronunciation. Is it Corinne? I've always called it Kieran.
I guess it could be either one.
I don't know. Oh, you're the quarter Filipino. You got the Asian in you.
Which has nothing to do with
Well, Tokyo's your favorite city on Earth.
It is my favorite, but it doesn't mean that I said it right. But it is really, really good. So yeah, well done, Latchkey. I like this one a lot. It's very, very light. I feel like we could 4.6% alcohol.
Oh yeah, we could.
This is like one of those things
day.
That yeah, we could hit this pretty
all
hard.
Day. All right. Well, listen, there's been a lot that's happened since the last time we talked. I want to get it out of the way first, because I want to get your thoughts on it. It's been a couple days since then, but I got a funny reminder that brought it back to me. KSI Logan Paul 2.
Oh, good Lord.
We all watched
it.
Well, here's the thing, right? So look,
if it was a pay-per-view and I had to pay, no, I would not. But since it was on DAZN, which we already have,
right?
It would have been I would have just kicked myself if I didn't watch it, knowing that I didn't have to pay extra for
it. Well, let me come clean. Okay. My DAZN membership had expired.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Now, it had only been expired by a couple days. I don't know exactly when I signed up last year.
So like your yearly whatever.
My yearly, yeah. My yearly had run out.
I don't even know when mine
did. And so I actually renewed mine the day of the fight just to make sure I had it played. Now, listen.
Did it give a deal?
It's $100 a year. It's $99
Okay, I didn't know if maybe they gave a deal to
It's $100 a year. Now, listen, special again, or something. I get to expense it. The company pays for it, which is a nice perk of the job.
Yeah.
But I will say, as much as I knew that it was going to be rather trash,
I made sure my
subscription was in place, and it was funny. So I watched it, and you know what? I'll be honest. It was, to me, of course, it was the level of boxing you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
But I will say, it was pretty entertaining. It was entertaining.
It had
some controversy.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't mind the level of boxing either. I mean, like, because both guys came out there, they were swinging and they were trying. You could see improvements from the last time. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is just shit. But the level of effort that the guys are trying to go out there, they didn't go out there in the hopes of, I'm going to run around the ring for the whole entire time and hope to get my money. Like, you could tell that they worked for it, and they were trying to knock each other's head off. At least KSI certainly was swinging a lot more. I thought Logan Paul, who he was just very reserved in his striking, his jabs, he was doing good work with the jab, but he never fucking threw his
this
right hand.
This is a far more technical breakdown of the fight than I thought we were going to get, man. I'm not
going
to lie.
I thought it was all right. I mean, I didn't feel bad that I didn't feel like, oh, shit, I can't believe I wasted however, I don't know, whatever it was. I mean, I actually watched some of the other boxing before, but when I watched the other boxing, without really knowing the guys that were involved, there were like two belts going. I was still more into the KSI Logan Paul
one. That's where it gets it. That's what I wanted to get at, because that's what's so funny about this sport, man. And I think it's something that we have to step back and realize sometimes is, yes, the sport, combat sports, we all enjoy it. But, man, what matters is knowing the combatants involved. When you know the people, and I know that people are saying, oh, man, this is like celebrity boxing. It's garbage. It's this and that. Of course, the level of the sport is not high. I mean, it doesn't compare. But the interest is what matters. The fact that people care and want to watch it, that's what matters. And so it was interesting for me to stand back a little bit, because I guess in a lot of ways it was like our CM Punk situation, our James Toney situation, right? Although even probably a little bit more so, but because you saw the debate in boxing, right? You could see the boxing writers that were like, well, hey, if people tune in, it's good. They're watching boxing. And then you saw others that were like, this is a complete farce. It's an embarrassment. I can't believe they're doing this to our sport. It's pathetic.
Well, they got to realize those are the same fuckers that probably don't write and talk about how boxing, for the most part, is very fucking dirty and corrupt. But they're like, oh, you know, how dare they come, you know, trample on our pristine sport. It's like, fuck you. If it's helping keep the sport alive, if it's giving some sort of interest, like it gave a platform. When you heard the two guys, I want to say that fought on the underneath that were fighting for titles, that were legit boxers. If they're saying they're happy because of reaching a new audience, and then the other stuff, then you should be fucking happy that it's happening. You know, did it move the sport forward? Did you see new footwork that was going to help carry? No, you didn't. But the fact that you had millions of people, they made it sound like every motherfucker in the world was watching, which was
ridiculous.
They
had a lot of numbers on their weigh-in streams and stuff like that.
I mean, the interest was there. So, I mean, they should be happy that something that was pushing forward. And it's the same for us. You know, like when ESPN started covering MMA, when you'd start seeing on mainstream things, as much as we were like, oh, you know, like, I wonder what this channel is going to do with it, you know. The fact that it was bringing more eyeballs and more people got to talk about it, a lot of those people maybe still aren't watching it. They watch that one fight, and then more than likely they're not going to, you know, turn on Fox and watch the next PBC card or something coming up. But there is the possibility that you might get a couple people. And the fact that, you know, it's just keeping the sport out there. It's keeping the sport in the mainstream.
That's it.
They should be happy. I mean, but I get it.
But that's, to me, is the lesson out of it. It's like, dude, quit taking yourself so damn seriously, right? I mean, look at what we're really doing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's funny. I mean, when people say it's like two dudes in their underwear in a cage, you know what I mean?
Right.
It is what's going on. You know what I mean? That's a goofy way of putting it. But, like, don't take yourself so seriously. I mean, that's not going to be what happens all the time. That's not the highest level. Like, do I want to tune in and watch KSI versus Logan Paul every week on a UFC headliner?
Right.
No, but if it's one week here and there,
right,
I don't have a problem with it. And I think that's what people need to realize is, like, listen, entertainment means a lot in this sport. It is not just about wins and losses. It is not just a sport. It is sporting entertainment.
Yep.
And sometimes entertainment means you're going to have to veer. Sometimes you're going to have a completely made-up belt that doesn't mean anything in a title.
Does that happen?
Sometimes that can happen. And you know what, man? Go with it.
Yeah.
You know, go with it.
I mean, when I'd almost ask these writers and stuff, like, if the sport's not growing, if they feel that boxing is sort of stagnant, or if they think that it's growing so fast that they don't need these little circus sideshow things off to the side, I'd say, one, they're probably misjudging the growth of boxing currently.
Right.
So the fact that there's anything, that there's any possibility of growing it is good, because if not, what are your ideas? What are your plans, boxing writer guys? Like, how are you going? How are you growing the sport? How is the sport going to grow without some influx of new people watching it?
That's right.
And unfortunately, sometimes you have to do some things that maybe challenge the norm to make that happen. Does it mean that, like you said, every legit fight needs to have some sort of celebrity, some sort of gag element on the same card? No, but it certainly doesn't hurt it every once in a while if it brings a spotlight back onto the sport.
We all love the freak show matchups back in Japan. Now, we wouldn't want to see every fight that way, but it's fun, you know, when you see Zuluzinho come in there and you're like, oh my God, this is, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's
somebody's going to die.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. So, I don't know.
But I watched it.
That was kind of my favorite. I tell you what, though, I told you guys in the Eternal chat, but the other day I was sitting there working in the morning and all of a sudden I get an email pop up and it's from, you know, it's just a DAZN marketing email and it says, The subject in big bold letters is, thanks for watching KSI versus Logan Paul. And I'm just like, damn it, people know I watched it. I felt dirty.
Yeah, I wonder if they just sent that out to like everybody, because I doubt that they're tracking if you actually logged in.
Oh, you think? I assumed it was like it tracked the accounts that logged in.
Well, I don't know. If one of you is a DAZN scriber and you got the email that said, thank you for watching,
And you didn't watch,
let us know. Because I wonder if they just sent it ultimately to the thing.
They'd have the numbers. That's the great thing about digital, is that you have the exact accounts of who turned. Like, that's the great thing about digital versus broadcast television, is they know who watched it, what age they are, what sex they are, where they're located.
I wonder if it just means if they look to see if it was logged in at the time. I mean, like, because they can't be sniffing the data that's going, I mean, to your house.
Sure, can't they?
I mean, that's an invasion of privacy. But it's not like they're monitoring the actual data unless they're seeing.
I bet they are.
If they just see it,
I guarantee you, DAZN knows everything you've ever tuned into. Guaranteed.
Well, that I'm sure they do, because they see your account logged in and you click on something.
Right.
But I'm just, I mean,
so why couldn't they tailor their marketing emails around that?
That's a lot of work.
Wow, I'm sure it's all automated. It's all done by computers.
Maybe.
Look at you.
Maybe. I wonder.
You're usually a conspiracy theory guy, and you're like, I don't know. I don't think they got my date. I bet they do. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you my Logan Paul story real quick. I've had one meeting with Logan Paul. I had no idea who KSI and Logan Paul were, I'll admit, before this whole thing happened.
I didn't either.
But I had one.
Well, before the first one. I found out who they were.
Before the first one, right.
Before
exactly.
The first one.
But I'll tell you what happened. So one day we were in an airplane. I was just flying. I think it was just a day trip out to L.A., one of those, you know, quick, you know, media days here and there. And on the way back into Vegas, I had gotten upgraded. I was in first class. I was in the front row. And as I'm sitting there, like, some dude, just blonde-headed, you know, big surfer dude or whatever, just, like, sits down next to me. And he's kind of fidgeting a little bit, moving around a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, who is this dude? I'm like, whatever, it is what it is, you know, like, short flight. And then he busts out his phone real quick and is, like, just – hey, man, I'm on the plane, and we're going here. We're doing this, and I'll pick things. Blah, blah. I'm like, what is this guy doing, dude? And then as soon as he gets off, he calls somebody, and he's like, bro, I shot some really good stuff, man. I uploaded it to you, man. If you can just get to edit it, it's dope. It's going to be awesome. I'm like, who is this dork shooting his vlog or whatever, and where is he uploading it to? And then like a week later, somebody, and I wish I could remember who, somebody reached out to me on social media and was like, dude, were you sitting next to Logan Paul on the plane the other day? And I'm like, I have no idea who that is. And they're like, oh, you were in his blog. And I'm like, okay, instantly, as soon as they said blog, I was like, oh, I know who that guy is. And so I'm like, I guess I was. Could you see me? And they're like, yeah, you know, you were on the side. And literally the whole time I was just like trying to like not make eye contact and keep my head down or whatever. So that was my, and then so I'm like, so who is this guy? And I pull him up online, dude's got like 20 million followers and, you know, 10 million on Instagram, whatever. I'm like,
yep, 20 million.
Holy shit. And I'm just sitting there going, who is this goofy guy? And here he is, man. He's made millions and all. And now talking about fighting in the UFC, but we're not even going to get into that because that was a horrible boxing match. He does not belong in the UFC. All right, biggest news of the week, probably outside of KSI Logan Paul, which I know is what you want to talk about. It's got to be, you know, I guess it's got to be the Nick Diaz interview, right? I mean, it's got to be. I think, you know, there's a lot of big moments in the sport, and we got fights coming up, but I got to think that Nick Diaz interview has been the thing that's caught everybody's attention. Ariel Helwani sat down with him. I think 50 minutes or so of it aired. I think he later said that it was closer to like a 90-minute interview that they edited down. And, you know, kudos to Ariel for getting that interview. I know he's probably been working a long time behind the scenes to make that happen. But I got to say, man, I found it incredibly hard to watch, man. I felt uncomfortable for Nick. It was wild, man. I've struggled with what to make of it since, because I'll be honest, when it first aired, there was a big part of me that was like, dude, why couldn't they just kill this? Like, and I get it, man. That would be a difficult decision. Like, you've probably been tracking down an interview with Nick Diaz for so long. I mean, I know how tough it is to get a hold of him. We've all tried. And to finally get it and then put it on tape and make the decision to not use it,
yeah,
that would be really, really, really hard.
Yeah,
and I'm sure, especially, not only would it be hard if you were doing it personally, but if you've got a corporate boss who probably helped invest some money in it, you know, they might not even allow you to make that decision. But initially I thought, you know what, man, I don't think they should have even run this. And since then I've kind of changed my mind a little bit of it. I mean, if you watch it, Nick Diaz, there's been a lot of analysis of, you know, kind of what we saw here, and you know, I think the interview was held pretty late at night, so you know, it's not beyond Nick to maybe have a chemical or two in his system at the time, natural or otherwise. So you know, that might have been a little bit of something to do with it. He could have just been tired, fatigued after a stressful week, man. It's late at night, and I didn't think his behavior was that out of line from the way he's always been. I mean, he's always had that kind of, you know, rambling style of talking about things, and I guess, you know, stream of conscious over here and over there and switching things. So it didn't strike me as like just completely out of the norm from past dealings with him. Yes, it's been several years, but we used to interview him quite a bit over the years during his Strikeforce run and UFC and Elite XC and all that stuff. So it really wasn't that much different. I will say, it felt a little heavier, a little slower, maybe, if you will, a little less dialed in than normal. Like, I felt like there was a little, maybe, I don't know, man, like there was less meat on the bone than there was fat around it, I guess you'll say. And again, I don't want to overanalyze because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist,
yeah.
And I don't know, but it did strike me as a little weird. But It still bothers me a little bit. I know you can't kill it, but they obviously edited it, and they didn't even do a good job of editing it in some places. Like, it wasn't, like, unclear that it was editing. Like,
yeah,
they didn't go out of their way to, like, change the audio levels that you couldn't tell that conversations were being cut. In fact, there's one point where it literally cuts them off in the middle of a sentence and goes to another place. So it's not even like they did a fine-tuning job of trying to make it seem.
Which you really shouldn't a lot of times, because, I mean, we've had that same discussion sometimes when it comes to editing interviews. I mean, there's ways that, because I think you want to have a sort of transparency about when you do make cuts to almost show, because it's easy, especially if you cut to like a B-roll or you cut to another camera, it's easy to make a cut of a sentence and cut to a different part of the sentence, and you miss up.
That's fair.
You know,
like where you're manipulating it on
where
purpose.
You can almost seem like you're manipulating. It's definitely manipulating if you're taking it and you are placing things out of order that they come. So say I said something like, you know, I want to fight this guy, I think I can murder him, he's a piece of shit. You cut it and say, I want to fight this guy, he's a piece of shit, I'm going to murder him.
Right.
And you take the C section, you put it in front of B, and it's easy enough to do that. It's one thing to just go and cut through some of the fat where if a guy's like, my thoughts.
Right. Nothing wrong with trimming that.
You know, trim some of that. Like that, nobody's going to give you grief for that. You know, you're just cutting to the chase. And almost the same thing when it comes to where if you you have to kind of be wary of. So say I say, you know, whatever, my name is Kenny. I go on a long biography and just say, I like dogs. To cut it and say, my name is Kenny. I like dogs. You know, you're cutting a lot of that stuff. While that is still, it's not as bad as rearranging the way something says. It does sort of, you have to watch cutting some stuff to make it the flow of an interview seem a certain way, because some of the context that's in that middle section that you cut out could actually lead a lot up to a certain way, where if somebody just listening to it at face value, the pacing of what is being said, the content of what is being said can alter completely what happens and the effect on a viewer. So you have to kind of watch it. So sometimes when somebody does a cut like that and they don't maybe clean it up, I don't mind that as much, because for me it's like they're showing, okay, we did make a cut here. Can you tell? See how we left that part in there?
Right.
Things have cut. Or put a dissolve. Or put something so the viewer can be like, okay, time has passed.
I guess
something
it would just be interesting to hear what their editorial conversation was. Because they didn't edit it. They didn't finely tune it, but they obviously edited some stuff out.
I'm looking online. It looks like it's still 48 minutes and 55 seconds.
Exactly. It's almost 50 minutes. And I think they said it was 90 minutes was the original interview or something like that. So they cut a lot out.
50%.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just
that's tough.
I don't know how good. Ultimately, here's what I walked away thinking from it. Again, the presentation, I guess it's hard to edit Nick. It's hard to edit Nick, especially in this particular interview, in a way that would seem just, because he is so like stream of conscious. It's difficult to tell where one thought ends and another begins. So I get that it's a difficult editing process.
He's kind of been like that. He's always kind of been like that. And I think it's funny, even when I was with the UFC, sometimes, you know, you felt like he would start saying something and then he would catch himself and start thinking of, well, what do I want to be perceived as saying? And you would see this chain of thought happening as you would sort of drive off in a different direction, you know, and you wondered if a lot of that was by design, or like you mentioned, you know, maybe, you know, gets lost in the thought and his head sort of just goes elsewhere, you know. It is tough to watch it sometimes. So I can see where you want to think, well, okay, would we cut that, you know, or would we not, you know, because it can go either way. You almost don't want to get people coming at you like, why would you put that out like that? Why would you leave it like that? But also on the flip side, if you start not putting out, people are thinking, okay, well, you obviously didn't put the full thing out. Why aren't you showing what he full said? People aren't going to be happy either particular way. But I know if I spent time and a lot of effort to get somebody, I'm going to try to put out as much as possible just to make it worth your effort. You know, I think if it got to a point,
I kind of almost wish it would have been out there in whole, to be honest with you. But, I mean,
but that's a long time.
But you're going to go 50 minutes, why not go an hour and a half? Like, what parts are you deciding to cut out?
Yeah, and on YouTube, really, like, you're not paying for the fucking story.
Right.
Might as well at least do a version that's a cut down and do another one that's just like how we a lot of times do. We'll say, you know, if there's a cut, then we'll say, full, here's the full interview.
Right.
And we'll try to put them both up there, you know. But that's the way we've always done it. I mean, who knows how ESPN treats those sort of things. You normally, I mean, I don't go on their site all that often, the ESPN particular whatever, but I know there's not usually even shit that's 50 minutes.
No,
like,
of
that,
course
this
not.
Is
this is
very,
incredibly
very
rare.
Long.
But that's what I'm saying. It's incredibly rare. So I just wondered, why wouldn't we just do the whole thing?
Yeah.
You know what I
mean, they do have the full show out there, which is 2 hours. So they just didn't do the full section. Like, so here's ESPN's, whatever, Nick Diaz, Stipe Tyron. So that's 2 hours and 6 minutes. So the full thing is there. They just didn't put the full just of Nick there.
Right.
So you could watch the whole area. If you want to watch and cipher through the whole full 2 hours to get the full thing,
right,
I guess you can.
No, but that's got the other interviews and stuff in
right,
it.
Right, right. But I mean,
they edited,
but it's
stuff.
Still there.
Well, but not the. I don't think there's a raw. Unless I'm wrong, I do not believe
so
this is
in
raw.
So in that 2 hours is just only this 50 minutes.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's my understanding. I haven't checked that full one, but that's my understanding. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
While you talk,
for
I will scrub through and see.
So I don't know. So anyway, that to me is part of it. It's just like, if you're gonna run it that long, just run all of it, because it just makes me feel weird about the edits that were made. But here's the other thing.
Yeah,
it's
you're
just,
right. It doesn't. It only does 40-some minutes, so it is just the shortened section.
So, look, I don't work for ESPN. I don't know what their decision-making process was. I'm sure they have a good reason for it. I'm not trying to say they're doing anything wrong, but just at that point, if you're gonna put that much out of it, to me, go ahead and put it all out. That way, it is there in its entirety. You know, you're not taking anything at all away from them. But here's the thing that really this is the one thing that stuck with me, is that once it was done, because, you know, the interview was – I think they recorded it like a week ahead of time. Then once it came out, there was an article that went along with it that included confirmation from his manager that what they're trying to do is book a fight with Masvidal, you know, in Cowboy Stadium in March. Something that Nick Diaz never clearly stated in the entire 50 minutes, and I would assume 90 minutes, because I assume if he said it in the 90 minutes, they would have aired it, right?
Right.
And in fact, at one point, you know, and I understand it's Nick Diaz and the way he thinks and the way he talks, but it's just, I'm assuming the only reason they decided to do the interview was because they decided as a team they want to get that fight. I'm assuming. But it was never clearly stated from Nick. It had to be reconfirmed by his manager, and that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if Nick
wants a fight,
where was
that tweet? Didn't some tweet or something come out about him talking about the belt or something? Was that from this article?
There were little bits and pieces all along the way, but never once clearly was it made abundantly clear from Nick that, yes, I want to fight, yes, I'm excited about fighting, and I want to get back in it. And I just pray that nobody behind the scenes is pushing him to say you should probably go out there and fight again. That to me is what I take out of it. You know, the fact that, he never clearly stated it, and it had to be, you know, confirmation from his manager to confirm after 90 minutes of speaking that this is what he was trying to say, and it's that short of a thought. I just hope that that really is truly 100% what he wants to do, because it is clear that, you know, this entire process is stressful to Nick Diaz. It's not entirely enjoyable to Nick Diaz. And, you know, listen, it would be lucrative. There's no question about it. Nick and Nate, man, they have incredible fans. And, you know, Masvidal would obviously take that fight. You know, he had the Scarface cartoon, you know, that responded to it. I mean, he would love to. It would be a big fight. I don't know if it would be Cowboy Stadium big, but it'd be a big fight. But I guess my biggest take out of the whole thing was, are we 100% sure that this is what Nick wants to do? Not, is he mentally capable? I think that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, oh, is his mind right? Is he's okay? I mean, listen,
he's always been out there.
He's always been out there like that. Yeah. You know, I did not take too much of it. Again, I did feel his speech pattern was a little slower, and I did feel like maybe there was a little more kind of wildness to his thoughts, but I don't know what medication he was on or what medication he wasn't on that he should have been on. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that I remember when he was getting busted for weed that I was always like, guys, seriously, before the rules changed that now it's okay, I'm like, can you not look at this guy and be around him and see that he needs to be on marijuana? Like, allow him to use this. It obviously helps him. Like, please, can you not tell how much he hates being out here in front of all of us and in the world? And I will say, too, I mean, now I don't want to nitpick or whatever. It did seem like the very formal setting that they were using there was probably not the greatest setup to get Nick Diaz comfortable and in his element. But that's a whole different situation. But I just – the fact that he did not ever clearly, directly state that that's what he wanted and it had to be confirmed by his manager afterwards, that scares me, and that's all I'm saying. I hope and pray that nobody behind the scenes is pushing him and telling him, you know, that's what he needs to do, or that's what he should do, or that's what he needs to be about.
Unless he's said in confidence to them, like, I do want to, but then he has a hard time verbalizing that, and somebody's like, trust me, I've talked with him, this is what he wants to do, but, you know, given that moment, you know, he chose to not say something or whatever. But, he's always kind of been out there, but you're right. I mean, you want to make sure everybody's good to get in their fight, but, I mean, it would be fun if he wants to get in there.
That's what's crazy, right?
He has a huge legion of followers. Some would say an army of followers behind him. So I know it was. I was glad to see him on Fight Week with his brother. I thought that was pretty effing cool, especially
cool
coming out there on the weigh-ins and seeing him there. So baby steps. I mean, if that's what it starts to get the ball rolling, to get him back and fighting, great. But, yeah, I mean, if it's something he's not sure, I mean, hopefully nobody's pushing him to do anything. But
that's my biggest. That's all I say. If he wants to be out there, let him go do it, man. Yeah. I just want to make sure it's what he really wants to do, because it's obvious that it's a torturous process for him, and I hope people aren't encouraging him behind the scenes if it's not what he really wants to do, because I've always been told that he doesn't need to. Just like Nate told us he didn't need to work again, I've been told that Nick was making really good money in Strikeforce and just kind of squirreling it away. You know, obviously they're not out there buying Bentleys and private jets and stuff like that, so I've always heard that he doesn't have to fight, and if that's the case, I just hope nobody's pushing him to do it, because I don't want him to get out there if he doesn't want to be there.
I mean, go back to remember when he was in front of the Nevada Athletic Commission, how awkward and rough that was in that particular setting. You know, like, you had the lawyer saying, oh, you could just plead the fifth, you know, and he was just going through that. And that was kind of hard to watch. And I imagine you know, if you thought that, you know, maybe hearing him in interviews where you're just like, wow, man, where his head's at, I don't quite get it. Go back and watch like the old court shit. Like even back then, you know, it just felt like, I don't want to be here in this situation. You're asking me shit, you know, off of my head. I'm in somewhere completely else and I'm just going to answer whatever. So,
that was crazy. God, I forgot about that.
That was,
it did give us some great video of the people that cut it in with the Dave Chappelle or like, I please, there's only one amendment that I need.
It was pretty rough, though.
It was rough. Yeah, you just feel bad. Like you feel bad for him, man.
But I mean, I want to say it was either Nick or Nate. That I remember when, and this could be because it was all drugs or whatever. I remember when I was still at the UFC hearing of when inspectors and people kind of would go there for testing. I want to say it was him, not Nate. That like, and who knows if this is true or not. I mean, I wasn't there, but like, jumped out of his window to get out of the house to get away from. The testers or whatever, and people coming to like do stuff with him, like he just didn't want to do it. And I remember even back then, people, you know, we were talking like maybe this guy has real severe anxiety issues when it comes to doing it, you know. So, I mean, that stuff is. I mean, if you do have some of those things, and I'm not sure if that's the case, or I'm not trying to say it is, that stuff is almost crippling for people. So for people dealing with it and to get through it, it is much harder than anything we can imagine. So when we see somebody that struggles through some of that stuff, we want to put more shit into it to make our own minds understand what they're possibly going through, you know. So
no, it was crippling anxiety. That's a perfect way to put it, man. Yeah. It was crippling anxiety, and I almost felt bad. That's what I'm saying. I felt bad watching them, you know. And and you're right. And then the psychoanalysis happens afterwards, where everybody's like, "Oh,
we all want to start putting it in our own minds. Like, well, if I was in that situation, I was doing this, I must be doing this." I mean, and that's not for us to do. We're all not doctors. We're all whatever. Maybe just thought, you know, I'm going to go on Ariel's platform and say some stuff, but then it gets there and he just like
forgets to say what he was supposed to
say. Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of shit. I mean, who hasn't ever been into a big moment and just afterwards you're like, fuck, I didn't say this. I mean, like, even interviews. I go in to do interviews and I get very nervous sometimes that I'm not going to forget shit. So I write shit down.
Right.
I write all of it down that I want to go, even though I know at some point I'm kind of repeating my questions. But just to keep track, so
I take notes. You see, I write notes for every media day we do. I have notes. I might not even look at it, but I have notes just because I know if I do go blank, if I forget something, like I want to make sure I don't look over a point.
It happens. I mean, like stuff can happen. So I mean, who knows? But I would say it's not our job to put to think too much or try to diagnose. I mean, what is happening there? I mean, if it looked uncomfortable, it probably was uncomfortable, but let's not think too much.
I agree. Like I said, that was my biggest takeaway is that I don't read too much into it. I just want to make sure that Nick really wants to be out there. That's right. All right, well, listen, any talk of the Diaz brothers, you got to talk about a little Conor McGregor as well. And that's why I want to ask. Okay, listen. Look, the more I talk
to
people,
let's go back and talk about KSI. Let's talk about his big swinging right hands.
All right, so here you go. You might be leading into exactly what I wanted to ask you about because and I'm sure had you attended the production meeting this afternoon, we were reviewing all these notes with the team. But
I was too busy looking for new houses to rent. Yeah.
It's tough to find grounds like this for that price. Listen, so all right, so that's what I was going to ask you because look, the more and more I talk to people, it sounds like Conor at 246 is just about a done deal. This is January 18th date, Cowboy Cerrone.
246 weight class? Wow.
UFC Conor, 246,
you let
sir.
It slip, brother.
UFC 246 on January in Las Vegas. And by the way, I was told if Conor doesn't fight in January, that card will not happen in Las Vegas. They'll do it somewhere else. I don't know where the backup place is, but I was told that. I don't know how. I was just told they have another location on hold. But it seems like it's going to. The more and more I talk to people, it seems like it's going to happen. It's not done yet. It does seem like Cowboy's the leading candidate. But that's what I wanted to kind of ask you about because I will say that I was probably along the same lines as a lot of other people. I saw, again, in talking about our internal Slack chat at MMA Junkie, you know, I saw people, you know, throwing out the term Conor fatigue, you know, just admitting they were tired of writing about Conor and tired of, you know, either A, this was Conor's latest legal issue, or B, this was Conor's latest Instagram post.
Oh, does he have legal issues?
It was getting old, right? Yeah. I mean, it was getting old. But I will say this, now that it seems that he's back, and it seems that he's got a fight, and it seems that he's not trying to insist that it be the Khabib rematch.
And this is all thinking that he's back just because of what? Because people are saying the SBG hours are switching.
No, this is people behind the scenes that I've talked to. But
yeah.
But no, I mean, there are people speculating
in his camp that are probably obligated to make him sound better than he does.
I have sources, my friend. But no, it does sound like it's getting very, very close at the very least. But yes, you said the John Kavanaugh post. You know, he tweeted that, hey, from what 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's like midday or whatever.
That, which honestly struck me less as a reason to think Connor was in camp, because I don't think Connor's getting up to work out at 10 a.m. in the morning. He might be.
Well, he's got a big, busy nightlife. You know, he's got to get his work in during the day so he can
wrap it up at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so he can. He's like, instead of going home from the club, let's just go to the gym now.
He's usually a late afternoon riser. But so beyond all that, cold coffee, and maybe you're throwing shade, so I think you I think I may know which direction you're leaning in. But Farah Hanoun, she's in Bahrain right now. She actually ran into Owen Roddy out there, and she interviewed him. And the last quote in the piece that's up on MMA Junkie now, you know, he was speculating about, you know, Connor being back in and that sort of thing. And he gave this quote. And I really like this quote. And it kind of honestly did make me feel a little different. He said, look, I just want to see Connor back in. I think everybody just wants to see Connor back in the UFC. Bring that spectacle that is his fights. Nobody does it like Connor. And for me, I just want to see him back in there. Whatever happens after that, who knows? And
Who was that?
Owen Roddy, his striking coach, gotcha. Who will be in his corner, by the way. They said Owen Roddy and John Kavanaugh.
He gets paid.
Wow, the negativity is high.
No, that's not negative. I'm just saying, like, that's like a guy saying, like, I really hope my number one client gets back in there, you know, because I'm going to get some motherfucking money.
That's fair. Okay.
Does he say that about every other fighter at SPG when they're getting in there?
Probably not. Okay, that's fair. But I go through all that to ask you, let's say that the announcement is made tomorrow. Let's say the announcement is made tomorrow. This has definitely happened. He's going to be on this card. Do you start getting excited about actually seeing Connor fight again? And a fight that makes sense, not a fight that he's holding out for, not a rematch with Habib that would make no sense, not a boxing match with, you know, Floyd Mayweather, right. not
an actual fight within the division for proper placing of the division or whatever.
It's crazy. I'll tell you, it's crazy. Our rankings. So the way we do our rankings, you know, George Garcia does the MMA Junkie rankings, but I help with it and I kind of review it. Basically, he throws up his proposal and the editors kind of look at it and go, "Eh, what about this? What about that?" You know, but it's kind of him. But we have this spreadsheet that we track on, so that way we can look at everything side by side. And basically, you know, it just makes it real easy to compare everything, like when you're looking at everybody. So it's on the spreadsheet, but we track the last 3 years of results, basically, because that's what we deem most important. Yes, your career record matters, and the last 12 months are what we really factor in most heavily. But at the end of the day, we take a look at the last 3 years. And anybody remember what the anniversary was that just passed?
The Holly Holm,
not that one.
Which one?
The one that involved Conor McGregor.
It
was the 3-year anniversary of him beating
Jose.
Of him beating Eddie Alvarez. It happened over 3 years ago. So if you look on our spreadsheet at the featherweight division, he's sitting at number 12. All that's there is Conor McGregor, 21-4. The loss to Habib Nurmagomedov. In the last 3 years, the only thing he's done in the UFC is a loss to Habib Nurmagomedov. So it's frustrating. But I will say this. What Owen Roddy said is right. Nobody does it like Conor. There is no show like Conor McGregor. And when he's on, he is on. And he is incredibly exciting, and he brings some to the sport. And I'll be honest, I was suffering from Conor fatigue too, man. I am tired of hearing empty promises. Weird. I'm tired of hearing boasts and claims that mean nothing. But once the contract is signed, I think I'm back in 100%, man. I think he is, I hate to say good for the sport because he had so many problems lately. But, yeah, he in much the same way that KSI and Logan Paul are bringing, you know, attention to the sport. I mean, look, Conor McGregor fighting is good for our sport. Conor McGregor fighting is good for our sport. Not necessarily the
just Conor McGregor
not
the
fighting.
News.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Grant, I would love to see him get in their fight. I mean, honestly, if I'm being truthful, I even like the bullshit spectacle fights, you know. So the whole Mayweather fight, you know, all the random, like, let's do money fights against Diaz, all that other stuff. I liked it all. I mean, like, I like the way that a fight week feels when there's a lot of buzz around it, because we've been to a lot of fight weeks where there's not a lot of buzz, and then it just feels like work, you know. So a lot of there's always usually a little bit more energy into a fight week when it comes to a fight that has Connor in it. So yeah, no, I mean I'd be glad to see it in there. I mean, to have it finally mean something, it feels like it's been so long, like you said, I guess over 3 years or whatever it is since the Alvarez when that was an actual fight for a legit division, you know,
Right.
like a fight that meant something.
Well, in a fight where he looked good and the fact that, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, like, because he did the work before the last fight as well, and he did not look that good. His timing was off and other stuff. So I hopefully, whatever they do this time around, I think he probably has a lot of reasons to focus very, very closely on his fighting. And I think with all the distractions and all the shit that's been going on, he's probably happy to have something that would just give him that singular focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's something. I mean, I hope we
I
can
was
get to it, but I mean, it's fun. I mean,
I didn't love the build up to the beef fight. I've openly said that. Like, I did not like the build up to that. All just the hate and the anger and
yeah.
this and that. Like, I get it, man. And you know, there's rivalries and
Yeah.
not to say that they weren't real rivals, but it was just, I don't know, man. It was too much for me, man.
It was a good bit.
I think if it's him and Cowboy. I mean, obviously, Cowboy's not going to engage in it, number one. But I think at
Yeah.
that point, it's fun. You know what I mean? I think they can be. Man, I love the sharp-witted, you know, quick on the trigger. Just, I mean, I love Conor McGregor is awesome. He is. Nobody does it like Conor McGregor. He's incredibly, incredibly entertaining. And I hope we get that. But anyway,
Yeah,
I don't know.
it'll
To
be
me,
good.
as soon as he signs a contract, I will be honest. If he tweets something tomorrow about Habib. I don't care. I don't want to write. I do not care what he has to say about Habib right now. And it's like we have to write about it because it does get clicks and people do care, and that's how our salaries get paid. But I'll be honest with you, I don't care what Conor McGregor has to say about Habib Nurmagomedov right now. I really, really don't because to me, he's not in a position to get that rematch. But if he signs a contract and he's dialed in to face a guy like a Cowboy Cerrone, which is a fight to me that makes all the sense in the world. I'm down for that. You know, if it turns out to be, you know, Dustin Poirier, it's not going to be that fight. But I'm saying, if, for instance, if it was Dustin Poirier, if it was Nate Diaz 3, all those fights are fights that make sense and I can get behind and I can dig it. I don't care about what you have to say about Habib right now. And so I hope we can get past this timing of Conor fatigue because it was stuff that didn't make sense and get to stuff that does.
Yeah, and even the stuff that it, whether it be the stuff that makes sense or whatever, just it's all the external shit that's just so just like to the point where you're like, can we just talk about fighting? Can we just do this? You know, I think that's the part that was getting me. It was like, okay, he struck an old man. Okay, he stole somebody's phone. Okay, there is this allegation of this. There's an allegation of that. Let's be clear, you know, that if ever that shit came back, that some of these assaults, the sexual assaults and everything ever proved, I don't care if we ever fucking see him again ever in the ring. If something gets proved and that's a person, I think we start getting to the point where now you're not good for the sport. We've seen what happens if guys, I mean, like a lot of people, Greg Hardy gets hate and he should a lot. I mean, the guy was convicted. It was
Overturned on appeal, but he
overturned
was
on appeal, but
convicted.
he was convicted. If it comes back in the same thing, he deserves as much hate as people are hating on Greg Hardy, regardless of Greg Hardy doesn't bring the amount of money of like a Conor McGregor. And I would like to see the UFC
Boy,
and
wouldn't that be?
organizations kind of treat it the same sort of way. And I would wonder if the fans would do the same. But we're not in that position right now, so I'm just throwing that out there that if that shit ever came
It
back.
is an interesting hypothetical, though.
You know, and it is. And it's just that's the part that we're tired of. Like, nobody's tired. Like, I'm not tired of the fight week antics of getting in his face in an oppressor and doing this shit and walking out with the whiskey, which can be like whatever because you're just like, God, is he drunk already? But when it gets to all the side stuff that's outside of the MMA game, that's the part that's just like, oh, I don't want to hear anymore. Can we just talk about two individuals that want to go in there and test their martial arts skills and beat the shit out of each other in their underwear, you know, instead of like real life shit that kind of, you know, really makes you know, second guess why we're covering and why we're giving a platform to somebody. That's the shit I'm tired of. But, you know, until something like that happens, yeah, I'm excited to see the guy that has the fucking, when it comes to, like you said, his wit and his quickness of mind when it comes to burn somebody in a nice jest. I mean, he's got to be one of the best guys out there. that does it. So it's always fun. But
you know what I'm interested in? This is kind of down a different path, but you know, you brought up the Greg Hardy stuff, and look, I've made my feelings on Greg Hardy clear. Like, I can't for one second dismiss what he did or pretend
right.
like it's not serious. I've only seen the way I've seen him act since and what
right.
he's tried to do.
Right.
But Josh Grisby has booked a fight. I think it was actually Nolan King, who our own Nolan King, who had the first report that I saw, but he's actually competing in Maine in February. And Josh Grisby had a 2014 arrest for domestic violence. He was featured on Dr. Phil at one point, but he was convicted of seven different charges.
Oh, shit.
Serious charges, five counts of assault and battery. I mean, it was rough stuff that he went through. I'd be interested because at one time Josh Grisby was pretty highly thought of in the WC. He was the guy. I mean, he was the next guy, I think. You know what I mean? I'll be interested to see if he makes it back because, again, and man, I hate even talking about this stuff because it sucks to even bring it up, but like, Josh is a white dude. You know what I mean? And
yep.
It'd be interesting if he made it back. If he were able to climb his way back to the UFC,
yeah.
If everybody were to be like, look at the depths of where this guy came from and look at what he went through.
It's a story of redemption.
It's a story of redemption. I swear to God, if I see one person say that, that didn't say the same thing about Greg,
right. Because, when you're looking at, just jumping over to our article, the seven charges that the jury found him guilty of, seven counts of improper storage of a firearm, five counts of assault and battery, that's a real bad one, two counts of threat to commit a crime, eight counts of intimidating a witness, that's a bad one, one count of possession to distribute Class D marijuana, one count of malicious damage to a motor vehicle, that can happen, one count of attempt to procure perjury. I mean, like, that sounds very, very bad.
Yeah, but about in August 2014, Grisby was arrested after what the Taunton Daily Gazette reported as a vicious beating of his wife, Caitlin Grisby. According to the report, a half-naked and bloody Caitlin ran to a neighbor's house in an attempt to escape from Josh. The blood was the result of a dog attack. According to police, Josh trained the couple's dog to attack Caitlin.
Oh,
then Josh would choke the dog unconscious. And the Middlesbrough police officer, Richard Hardy, called the attacks the worst case of domestic abuse I've ever seen.
Jesus.
Now, listen.
Christ.
I haven't talked to Josh Grisby in years, okay? I'm not sitting here right now trying to judge the guy or say anything, you know, about his future or where he deserves to be or what he doesn't. Those sound pretty heinous in the same way that Greg Hardy sounded pretty heinous. I'm just saying, treat him equally, I guess. And to me, I mean, I do side on the side of second chances, and I know that's an unpopular opinion. I've been chastised by my own MMA junkie team at times over my position on Greg Hardy, that I do believe in second chances, especially when it comes with sobriety attached to it, because I understand the power that the drugs and alcohol can have on somebody. Not that it justifies everything, but it makes you do some pretty dumb and shitty things. I don't know. As we were talking about all that, because it's going to be an interesting test. What happens with Conor McGregor if
it
turns out that these do happen? What happens if Josh Grisby somehow fights his way back to the UFC? Does everybody get the hate and vitriol that Greg Hardy does?
That's true.
And I'm not trying to just sit here and stand up for Greg Hardy. I'm just saying I think everybody should apply them equally, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't treat the token white guy differently than somebody else. You're right.
Crazy. Anyway, I hate getting to talk about stuff like that. I try to have fun with this show, man, not getting too deep. But
it is shit that if we don't say something about it, you know, then you almost get grief for not saying something about it. So, yeah, I forgot all about that Grisby shit. That's
nuts.
Crazy.
All right, so you got into the fantasy fighting. You said you like the crazy matchups. I do want to ask you something real quick. Tyson Fury, is he crazy enough? His name's in the news a lot, man.
He's just playing the news. I don't think he would do an MMA fight.
No,
never. Even the thing.
He seems to me like
maybe someday.
He seems like such a showman that he'd be in for it.
But look at him. The first thing he's like, you know, it's doing like the whole Mayweather. Come, you know, I'm calling the shots. You want to fight me? Yeah, I'll fight you in a boxing match. You know, same thing when Mayweather was in there, and he's like, oh no, I'm not doing a kickboxing fight or an MMA fight. We're going to do a boxing match. So he's telling, you know, Stipe, yeah, I'll fight you in a boxing match. You know,
But he's saying it. But you know, he was training with Darren Till.
He said it was a workout.
Darren Till?
It was just a fitness. I think that was probably people that were like,
they have the same management group.
Yeah,
so it was definitely set up.
It could have just been a get together and let's do a work. And everybody's like, oh my god, he's doing MMA now. You know, MMA workout. You know, I mean. I don't think so. I think it's the same way when it came to the wrestling when we talked with him. He realizes that there's moments to make plays to get one publicity, but also money, the big money thing. So if it means that he goes out there and does a training session with an MMA fighter and it gets people talking and it sets up a boxing fight with an MMA crossover, he's getting what he wants. You know, I just don't see him wanting to go the other, because as much as he throws elbows in with Darren Till and other shit, he's not training wrestling. He's
Right.
not training takedown defense. I mean, he realizes, even though he is a large,
Huge.
very, very big man, he would just get fucking destroyed on the
All
ground,
right.
and there's no taking that away.
Little bit of breaking news, real quick. We have switched over to the
Oh, yes.
Bo
Speaking of
Nose Haze.
takedowns, what are we taking down now?
It's the Bo Nose Haze, a hazy IPA. It's got notes of grapefruit zest, orange blossoms, and fresh cut grass. And I just took a sip of it, and it is, you know what, on a warm November afternoon, yes, we started out with the San Diego 1915 crisp rice lager, but that's got a little fruity flavor to it, and packing a little punch there, right? It's got a little
6.8%.
Not bad, not bad.
What does the DDH stand for? It says DDH Hazy IPA.
Oh no, see that I don't know. See that we got,
because it could just say Hazy
for.
IPA, and I'd be like, oh, okay, it's a Hazy IPA. Maybe a double
Diamond Dallas Hage.
Yes, that's it.
All right, listen, I just want to say one thing about Tyson Fury. Take a little sip. Let me know what you think about
that. I did.
That's
I like
good,
it.
Right? I will say this. You're right.
You can definitely taste the strength difference, too, between this and that San Diego 1915.
Tyson Fury would absolutely get mauled in MMA, so you're absolutely right about that. He's not training takedown defense. He's not wrestling, so he would it would not be good. But I will say, man, the limited exposure that we had, of course, we got to see him close up at the WWE presentation that they did here in Las Vegas, but I've watched a little bit of his boxing stuff. I don't watch a ton of boxing, but when you're at the highest level I like Tyson Fury, man. As
Dude,
far as
a,
just a personality and entertainment value,
he's a showman.
He
for
is.
Sure.
He's a showman, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, as crazy as it sounds, and again, I think we have to realize stop taking yourself so damn seriously sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we all want to see number one and number two in the world. We all want to know who the best fighter in the world is. Yes, I love watching MMA at the highest level. But I will tell you right now, if Tyson Fury decided, hey, guys, I know this is crazy, but I want to go in and throw these hands in 4-ounce gloves and just see what the hell happens, you know what? I'll take it.
I'm with you. As much as I'll say that he will get his shit handed to him, especially when
I'll bet against him.
I would love to see, just for the fact that, in the short interactions that we had with him, and then just watching him in his recent boxing matches, the whole entrances, they're larger than life. I mean, the last ones, he was riding out on a platform. He had music. He had a singer. It was incredible. So, I would love what he would inject into that fight week. Just like I said, I love the energy that Connor injects into a fight week. A fight week with Tyson Fury would be absolutely outrageous.
I'm in for it. Listen,
it would
I
be
would
a lot
bet
of fun.
Against him, but in the right matchup, man, I mean, him and a Ngannou fight, can you imagine that?
Jesus. Well, the thing is about that one is that Francis would want to stand up and box him.
That's exactly.
And then that's the part where it's like, okay, guys, remember, I mean, like Stipe's got good hands. He's got good shit.
Stipe would wrestle him.
And I mean, the thing is, I mean, as opposed to boxing, is that you don't have to get broke from the clinch here.
Yeah.
Like, Stipe could get him into
That's
a clinch
true.
And do a lot of
That's
damage. Most boxers, they will get into the clinch and they're like, okay, somebody's going to break me. They're going to break us up at this part. You will get fucking demolished.
You know what's funny
this.
Is I hadn't really thought about that. You're so right. Because I usually think, when I think about boxer versus mixed martial artist, I think, dude, you're going to get taken down right away. Whereas, like, Francis. I mean, look, Francis definitely has better wrestling than Tyson Fury, but I don't know if he would. I don't know if he'd feel comfortable like ducking in through the punches, or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Sometimes in thinking about wrestler versus, or MMA versus boxing, that I don't think about is the fact that the boxer is going to get kind of passive in that clinch position, whereas the mixed martial artist is definitely going to stay aggressive in there.
Yeah,
or could or
even,
should.
Yeah, even you know, with working the position of the arms, you know, if you get a guy that gets in there in a good clinch, he's either controlling it. One, you got to watch if they start to doing like a tie clinch and take some knees to the midsection and knees to the face. But let alone getting in there and hooking an arm or something and just securing an arm to where now Tyson doesn't have one of his arms. And then the MMA guy is just going to fucking pounce on him. I mean, especially somebody that's at that level. Like, I mean, you're talking about Stipe. It's the heavyweight champ. I mean, like, he would get mauled.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that helps Tyson, though, is early on, he is a huge guy. So you think that, all right, he's going to take some shots, but he also is going to have some strength that he'll learn quick enough that, hey, I don't want to be in this clinch position. He has enough strength that he could probably throw somebody off initially. Once he starts getting more tired, I think that ability starts to go away, you know, and he's just going to be like, oh shit, you know, let me just run because I don't want to get grabbed by these guys. But yeah, I mean, it's a whole different world. When you watch these guys that can work within the clinch and do a lot of damage, boxers have great feet, you know, and part of the feet and the footwork is getting away and keeping a distance. But when you
Right.
lose that distance, your feet and that skill's gone. Now they're and half of them would just be lost.
I'm telling you, it's look, I don't think it's gonna, I'm with you. I don't think it's gonna happen. But I'm just saying, I
I'd
think
watch it.
I that's it. I think that's where I'm
Put it
at.
On DAZN or something. I already got it paid for.
I think that's where I'm at this point. Just look, everybody's talking about, oh man, there's too much MMA. It's oversaturation. I disagree, man. Dude, I can watch MMA every day. I love it. It's my favorite sport. It's my true love. I could watch MMA every day. But because of that, because there is so much MMA, then let's do something a little different from time to time. Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little something different. And, if he wants to
You're
come
so
in.
You're so opposite those boxing media guys that don't want new things happening.
I know. It's crazy, right?
It's so crazy.
All right, listen.
How dare you want to inject some new energy and switch it up a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you, it kind of leads into exactly what I was going to get to next, which is Bellator. Funny, as we're sitting down on a Thursday afternoon, Bellator 234 is already in the books. It happens over in Israel. It's on a one-day tape delay, which is just absolute garbage. The results are out there. It airs on Paramount and DAZN via one-day tape delay tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yeah. I mean, we're recording on Thursday, as we always do. It comes out on Friday, so it'll be later today if you're listening on a Friday. But
when did it happen this morning?
It's already over.
Yeah, but when?
A couple hours ago. Yeah. So I mean, it's more. Basically, it airs on a more than 24-hour tape delay, which is just stupid. But as I understand, over in Israel, like Thursday is kind of like the beginning of their weekend, I guess, because the way the holy day lines up. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about the way, but it's been understood to me is that like Thursday is their night to go out. So anyway, I think that's garbage. I wish they would find a way to handle that. So I want to kind of poo-poo on Bellator for that, but I do want to say I love what Bellator is doing at the end of the year, along with Rizin, this kind of dual card thing that they're going on. And again, it's kind of some fun stuff. So back-to-back, cards basically over a two-day span at the Saitama Super Arena. But, you know, they're lending talent to each other. So you got some Arisen coming over to fight Bellator guys. You got some Bellator guys going to fight Arisen. And for the Bellator guys, they're getting to fight in the Arisen organization. You know what I mean? They're getting to fight in a ring in Japan with those rule sets. And I think that's cool, man, to see that happen. I think that, Patrick Mix is going over there. John Teixeira, John Makapa, as they call him, is going over there and getting to fight under their rule set. And I think that's cool. I like that Bellator's open to that. I understand they kind of have to be because they can't amass the kind of roster that the UFC does. And I'm not saying the UFC should do something like that. But I think it's cool that Bellator's doing that. And we're going to get to see, though. And listen, the UFC's last event is in South Korea on December 21st. Bellator is going to have Bellator 236 that night, and then they're going to have Bellator 237 on December 29th in Japan, 28th here, and then they're going to have Rizin. Man, Bellator is going to close the year strong, and they're going to have a lot of attention on those fights.
You can send me over to cover that Japan one. I don't mind that.
Trust
one.
Me, I already put in for both of us. I
will go over there gladly.
I already told the powers that be. I was like, we'll be happy to go over there and cover that. But the travel budget was closed. I was told for the year 2019, the fiscal year. So
where can I find the results? I see Tapology has some.
We did not put the results up. We made a conscious effort. We did not put the results up.
Yeah, they didn't put the who won the Karatanov and the Vassal. Fight.
I think they probably didn't do that because it would change on like the main page and it would show whatever kind of the way ours does as well. So anyway.
Oh, I gotcha. But yeah, I see all the other ones because I'm just purely doing it for my own staff pick check.
Yeah.
I just want to see how
well
I
did. Pretty bad for understand. Okay, listen. Hey, this is not big news necessarily, but I want to say I'm personally excited about it. December 14th, Red Rock Casino, right here in Las Vegas, the week of UFC 245. Quintet Ultra is taking place. It'll stream live on UFC Fight Pass. It is Team UFC versus Team Pride versus Team Strike Force versus Team WC. Now, I'm excited about it because I love the Quintet concept. It's the grappling concept. I love it. It's the 5-on-5, but the winner stays on, so you end up getting some weird matchups. It's not like, you know, 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. No, one guy stays on as long as they can. I love the concept. And I love the names that are already involved. Check this out. Team UFC, Anthony Rumble Johnson, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Team Pride, Kazushi Sakuraba, Takanori Gomi. Team Strikeforce, Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields. Team WC, Chad Money Mendez coming back, Glover Teixeira
as Johnson's
well.
Submission, is his ground game good?
It's good. It's,
I mean, like,
more
he's
of a wrestler.
I was gonna say, yeah, he is a huge,
it's
impressive
more about
dude,
power.
But it's like, yeah, I'm like,
I mean, like, if Anthony Johnson gets a hold of Kazushi Sakuraba or Chad Mendez, like, it's gonna be ugly. So I'm excited about that. But okay, so I'm excited about that. Again, these are 5-man teams, so they've announced 2 per team. There's gonna be more additions. I've heard some names that they might have. It's a Thursday night. So I'm kind of talking to him about maybe we could set up a little MMA roadshow action with a couple frosty beverages, Matt's side, and watch the watch.
Yeah, all right. Let me know how that works out.
I'm working on it.
I mean, I'm down. Let me know how that works out.
I'm working on it. I mean, could we do the podcast, you know, Matt's side, and watch a little quintet and have a couple cocktails?
It'd be interesting. I'm so ignorant when it comes to, because then I think you'd want to start talking about the matches that are happening.
Well,
or people would expect you to be covering,
well, that's the thing,
the actual thing.
I don't know if we'd be doing it because we'd be taping, so it wouldn't be a lie. It wouldn't be like a fight companion.
Right, that's what
like
I'm
that.
Saying, but it'd be weird to just have 2 guys talking about random other shit, Matt's side.
Okay, well, maybe be a little further
event.
Away
we'd
from
have to be, yeah, yeah, we'd have to be further away. Okay.
Maybe not Matt's side. That was you're right.
They're
that
like,
was a little,
what the fuck is going on over
there? That was a little
aggressive
of me there. Yeah, we're just sitting here drinking beer. You're right. I was trying to be a little too VIP there. Well, we're talking to him. We're going to try to do something. But here's what I'm actually more excited about. I'm excited about the fact that this is the first time that the UFC that I can think of has utilized the Pride brand, the Strikeforce brand, the WEC brand. I mean, they own these brands.
Yeah.
Why not use them? And I
wonder whose brainchild it was. Who finally...
Well, I can tell you who says it's his brainchild.
Oh, good Lord. That I don't believe.
Well, Ant Evans, but and look, Ant is a creative mindset.
I would believe Ant more than Dana.
Oh, no. You thought I was going to go to Dana.
I thought
you
were going to say Dana.
Ant said he came up with it, and I believe him.
I believe that.
So Ant Evans, who was a long-time guy.
I assumed you were going to say Dana, and I called bullshit on that one.
Ant used to do PR there for a long time, and then once he went from PR, he went to operations at Fight Pass, and now he's no longer with the company. And by the way, Ant Evans on Twitter, a phenomenal follow. Now that the gloves are off and he doesn't work for Zoof anymore.
I saw him at when I did the fitness expo thing where I had to go shoot GSP.
Oh, you saw him there?
And Anderson.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was there.
I see his son. His son trains his mind at Syndicate, so I see him a couple times a week, man. So we chat a lot. He's a great follow on Twitter now. But anyway, he said it was his concept, and I do.
I can believe that because I mean the dude lived and breathed that product, Fight Pass of everything there, and I know he was always trying to think of ways to push it out there. So I thought it was maybe doing like, is he like helping manage fighters or
no,
something?
No, he stepped away for a little. He wrote Michael Bisping's book.
Right.
But
that's why when I saw him there at the thing, I was like, I wonder what his angle is. Cause there was another guy there that, Markel, who now manages some guys that used to work for the UFC. I was like, well, why is he here? So I wondered what brought him there. I thought maybe he was, you know,
I'll have to hit him up on that.
Maybe.
But so here's what I want to get. I'm super excited about the Quintet Ultra December 14th. I'm excited. We're going to be there.
Yep. Those Quintet shows are pretty fucking cool.
I love them. And bringing out these old brands is cool. But
that's one of the reasons to like Fight Pass stuff. I mean, like, there's a bunch of different Fight Pass shit, and especially now that LFA is going into other stuff.
Oh, LFA's
Quintet
a great
is one of the cool things that Fight Pass has.
It is, absolutely. But what I was going to say, okay, first of all, I've talked to some people. It's my understanding that they're going to try to have like some WC merchandise available that night, some Pride merchandise available, which I bet it's going to sell awesome too.
I was going to say they're digging either through the garage.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
bring out the old, like, see what they have.
The old shit.
Look, man, we've got a lot.
These are only the sizes we have.
I was going to say we've got this awesome WC shirt. We've got extra small and 6XL. Which one do you want, dude? Like extra small, 6XL.
Yeah, because to think that they're going to actually go back. I mean, it's easy enough for them to recreate
hardcore
stuff.
But hardcore fans will snatch that shit up, man. I'm telling you.
Well, it's funny because back when they used to do the UFC, every year they would open up around Christmas, another time they would
open up the warehouse.
The warehouse.
I remember
you
that.
Would go, and I remember you could find WEC
so
shit.
For people that don't know,
and other stuff.
It was they had a warehouse. This is by the old Tough Gym.
Right.
They had warehouse space, and every year around holidays, they would open it up so that people could come in, and it would be just like marked down to like
super
cheap. So you could get like a T-shirt for like $5 or something.
Yeah, I remember getting like a couple sweatshirts, like big hefty pullovers that I still actually have.
And you basically either had to be an employee or know an employee.
Exactly, to get the invite to go to it. And I remember I bought those, I think they were like $20, if that. And I mean, and it probably at the time when it was brand new was at least 60 or yeah. $70 or more. I still got it. I still wear it. I just layer it. But yeah, I remember you used to always see the old shit in there. So that's why I joke like, oh, they still had some boxes left somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's funny. But I think they're going to – I don't know if it's going to be done, but I was told that they were talking about having it there. But here's what I think. I mean, dude, and I don't know. And again, I guess it'd probably have to be Dana that would sign off on this, and he'd probably be the hard one to sell. But maybe if this is successful and they see it, that it'll kind of open up some eyes. Now, again, we're talking about, hey, man, just having fun, enjoying some stuff. Can you imagine? And it's not a fresh idea. It's not like I'm coming up with this idea. I've seen fans say it for years, but the fact that they're actually doing this excites me a little bit. What if they had one Pride Rules event a year? Or maybe even not Pride Rules, because, you know, but at least in the ring, at least with the presentation, you know, maybe you couldn't have the soccer kicks and all that because you couldn't necessarily throw the rules to that.
I think a lot of people would be like, what is going on?
But you'd probably have to use the Unified Rules. You probably couldn't change the rules. But can you imagine? I mean, are you telling me that people on the roster wouldn't be clamoring with their hand in the air to say, dude, I want to fight on that card in Japan that they're doing on whatever date because they're doing a Pride show? Right. Or even like a WC show, like, hey, man, we're going to do an old-school WC show. It's only lightweights on down, and we're going to break out the blue canvas and the blue gloves and the whatever. I mean, just one a year. Just one a year. Just one a year.
Can we see WC Brittany? Oh. That was a good Britney.
I'm not going to lie. WC Britney is prime era Britney.
Dude, she was fucking. Oh, man. I think I fell. First time I saw WC Britney, I was like, woo-wee. I like this WC.
Only you, man. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to make a point about potentially changing business.
I made a
structure.
Good point, though. WC Britney was fucking smoking.
I mean, listen, I won't argue with you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Dude, if they could do that, people would be stoked.
Yeah, it would be cool. I think. You know, and it's funny because I think a lot of people forget where people come from. You know, if you came to the UFC and knew, you know, Cowboy and all these cats and didn't realize that they were all in this whole other organization that kind of got enveloped, you know, by the UFC, I think it would definitely put some interest to make people want to go back and watch some of that old shit. Because there were some really cool, good fights that happened in Pride, in WEC, you know, it's funny. We always joke and talk about how, you know, watching DC and these other cats go through Strikeforce, Luke Rockhold, all these cats, you know, like, so it's neat. I mean, I think if any time you can point back to sort of the, I don't know if histories or origins of where some of these fighters went through to create a little awareness, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a cool idea. But and some of those logos were cool.
Oh, yeah,
I remember
yeah.
some of that old WEC shit was pretty cool.
I dig it. All right, listen, let's talk about the MMA this weekend. You mentioned LFA, by the way. I should throw that out there. LFA will make its Fight Pass debut on Friday, which is awesome, man.
Yes,
I'm happy
congrats.
To end up there. That's a perfect place for
it.
It
is good.
They fed so much talent. Yeah. It might as well be on there.
Speaking of that fitness thing, I saw Ed there, and I was actually talking. I was like, dude, are you guys trying to get on Fight Pass or whatever? And he, maybe he knew something or maybe whatever. He was like, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope something can happen. So it's the perfect spot for
him.
It's good for both of them. They needed a platform. They have great fighters that a lot of times filter their ways to the UFC mm-hmm. or were in the UFC and then make their way to the LFA, you know, and still keep fighting. But it's just a perfect addition. For more content.
It really is. And again, you're going to own that footage. You're going to be able to, you know,
right.
It'll be an easy way for them, you know, when they sign developmental deals and just put people in LFA. I mean,
yeah.
It's a perfect spot for them. So that's happening on Friday night. Saturday, by the way, CFFC, I will not be on the call for that one. I will be on the one for next week. But CFFC is getting back to action. Pat Sabatini in the main event. A really cool story in there. Ben Ryder is a guy that I was told about, and I actually interviewed him this week. He is returning to action for the first time in a couple years, and he's actually donating his entire purse to Beat the Streets Philadelphia, which he works for. Which Beat the Streets is kind of a youth mentoring program that's based around wrestling. And he works for the Philadelphia chapter, and he's actually going to give away his entire purse to the organization. So it's actually pretty
cool
to see him doing that. So that'll be happening. But the big card of the week, of course, is UFC on ESPN Plus 22. Jan Blachowicz versus Ronaldo Jacare Souza. Jacare moving up to 205 pounds for the first time. Man, You know, this fight card in itself, I mean, a lot of local type fights. I will say, unfortunately, we don't have anybody on site, but of course, we'll still have full coverage with everybody working hard on Saturday. Big main event there, especially for Jan Blachowicz, man. I know Jan, it's funny because Jan's been talking title shot, and I almost feel disrespectful because, you know, every conversation we have right now is Dominic Reyes and Corey Anderson.
Yeah.
And I think we all believe Dominic Reyes is the right one, and John Jones has come out and said, you know, he's up next, and it does make sense. But it's funny, Jan Blachowicz deserves probably at least a little bit of discussion and gets absolutely none. And, you know, he did have a recent loss, and I think that's part of it. But, you know, he's been around for a while, and he definitely matters. So I think this is big for him. Meanwhile, for Jacare, it's a big fight, too, because I think you're kind of questionable about, like, his future as a whole. Yeah. You know, is this a good move? Is this a bad move or not? So,
and he's getting up there. I mean, he's 39 years old.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to turn 40. Let's see. When is this fight? This fight is
Saturday, November 16th.
This is just before his 40th birthday.
When does he turn 40?
December 7th.
Jeez. Like. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to start being the, hey, man, it's over for Jacare, but, yeah, I do feel like this is important for both guys for different reasons. For Jan Blachowicz, it's him trying to prove that, hey, me talking about being, you know, deserving of a title isn't just garbage. Like, I actually deserve it. Meanwhile, for Jacare, I hate to say it, but I almost feel like he's fighting for his career right now.
Yeah, I mean, going to another weight class, probably injecting a little bit of energy back into him. I mean, he's still dangerous. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what a bigger Jacare, because he's already such an impressive individual when you see him get in there. But this would be a huge feather in the cap for Jan to get a win over Jacare. I mean, if there was ever doubts of whether he should be up at the top and being in that contender talk, I mean, a win like this, even though it is coming over a guy that's making the move up, this is not just some regular guy. I mean, this is fucking Jacare. Yep. So, I mean, a win over Jacare means a lot. So, yeah, I mean, this is cool. But, I mean, Jacare, I mean, and it's crazy to think that, you know, oh, he's getting old when you look at a guy. He does not look.
No.
I mean, this is a guy that looks better than most guys ever do in their 30s. And he's getting ready to go into 40, you know, hit 40. But, it's an impressive dude. I mean, I think if it stays on the feet, it probably would benefit Jan because I think he has better hands and he has a lot of power. But if Jacare can get it and get in there and get his hands on him and start working some submission stuff, and that's kind of what brought me to where I think I end up leaning towards Souza. But part of this was because, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of a sucker for him because I've always liked the guy.
It's hard not to,
you know. But he shows up in those times when you almost think that he's not going to in some of these last ones. And I think this, for me, this was one of those situations, the if factor, going up, not having to worry about, not that he ever looked like he really struggled too hard with a weight thing, but being able to be a bigger, stronger guy.
I don't think it was ever fun for him. You're right. I don't think it was ever on the verge of death.
Right.
But I don't ever think it was like, hey, man, I sure do like this 185-pound division.
I just kind of feel like him going in there, he's going to be feeling better. And I think a happy Jacare is a dangerous Jacare. And I just feel like he's going to be a lot happier because, one, he's going up to a new challenge, but going in there and being able to kind of make a mark, I see him showing up for this one big. And I think that's what made me pick Jacare for this one. I think I'm not in the majority by any means. I want to say I'm one of the few in our staff picks.
It's funny. I ended up leaning towards Jan, and it was kind of my initial thought, and then it was confirmed to me at least that I was going down the right path in shooting the breakdown video with Dan Tom this week. Of course, Dan Tom, our resident fight analyst, you know, him and I do, you know, a fight breakdown. And really, it's just me teeing him up. He's the one doing the fight breakdown. I'm just on
which
camera.
Which works very well.
Asking him questions. Yeah, but he said something, and he admitted it wasn't his theory, that he had read it somewhere else or heard other people say it. But he said that when guys move up in weight that are predominantly strikers, they tend to have more success because, you know, the power translates okay in terms of striking, and their speed helps them. Meanwhile, when guys that are predominantly grapplers move up in weight, they tend to struggle because the size does become an actual problem. The size and the power,
right.
You know, the power of actually moving a bigger body versus the power of striking a man on a chin is completely different. And I was like, you know what, man? I hadn't really thought about that as just a theory in general. but I kind of tend to agree with it. Like, it does make sense to me. So I ended up going with Jan, but it's a big main event at 205, yeah. but for different reasons. All right, the co-main event is a MMA Roadshow favorite, Paul Craig from over in Scotland, facing an MMA legend in Shogun Hua. Well, we're not going to be his favorite after he hears what we think he sounds like.
But he does. You know he does. Remember the greatest meeting, the first time we ever did, I think it was his post-fight, or no, it was post-fight presser, and then we were in the airport, and we happened to see him, and the whole time we were like, does anybody know what he really said at certain parts? So we're just like, let's just go over and fucking ask him.
That's it.
And he was awesome about it. So it was, yeah, he's always been a big fan of his.
It was after the win. It was after the win over Magomed Ankle. No, it wasn't that. It was one of them. But I remember. Yeah, we ran him. I wish I could remember what fight it was, because yeah, we were in the airport and we couldn't, like, they were doing the post fight wrap up. You know, the video from his scrum in the back, and nobody could understand what he was saying. And like, we listened to it, and we couldn't understand what he was saying.
Over and over, he listened to it over and over.
It was
and
good.
Over.
All right, so listen, he's fighting Shogun Hua. Man, I'm torn on this because I do feel like, honestly, like, Shogun is on a little bit of a run right now, and I feel like we're, you know, everybody's ready to write Shogun off. And I think it's easy to do so. I mean, he's getting up there. He's been around forever. Now, don't forget, I mean, he still is only 37. Granted, he turns 38 in a couple of weeks, so he's getting up there as well. And we know his knees are probably, you know, in real age, his knees are probably like 70. They're not good. He's had leg issues his whole career, but he is still very dangerous. He does find ways to win if he can last. So I'm kind of torn on this, man. Like, I feel like the right play should be Paul Craig. I mean, he's.
It should be.
It should, right? But Shogun
but
is Shogun.
I didn't.
I homered.
There is something about Brazilians fighting in Brazil where they have like a automatic power up in the game or something. If you're playing the video game and it happens to be a Brazilian in Brazil, there's an automatic power up of 15 that goes to their fighter
yep.
profile. So I just played off of that. And I mean, you're right. I mean, Paul Craig, I've liked watching his career. You know, he's had some tough losses in there, but he's also had some good wins. Shogun, man, still probably to this day, when the best fights I ever saw live was him and Henderson. And how can you just not love watching to see this guy fight? But honestly, I went heavy in my Brazil picks. Just for the fact of there's something about them doing it there. And I have to feel that Shogun realizes or feels that the end of his active fighting career has to be coming to an end sooner rather than later. So like that Toby Keith song, you know, he might not be as good as he once was. He's good once as he ever was. And I just feel like this is going to be one of those moments where we might not see the best Shogun, but I have a feeling we're going to see some vintage moments of Shogun in here. And I think that'll probably be enough to get a victory here, just for the fact that, again, and I can't say it enough, man, Brazilians just fight so well in front of their country. They don't get as many fights as they used to, so they do a really good job of seizing that
moment. It matters
moment.
Even more now
it matters
than when it was
even more.
Seven cards a year.
That's it. They used to be down there, it felt like every other month,
right.
You know, or every month they had a fight down there. Now they're not getting it, so... and you know, you've been in that arena. You've seen the way that they support their fighters, and how can you not just be moved to do superhuman things? And I'm figuring on one of those moments, and it should be pretty incredible.
Well, I'll be honest, I ended up picking Shogun as well. But I want to say this: if anybody's looking at my stat picks and wondering, you know, how confident I am or what they're thinking about, like, to be honest with you, I feel like the right play is Paul Craig. I really do. But yeah. I kind of, the emotional reasons as well, I ended up leaning towards Shogun. So we'll see. And the other fight that I'm really intrigued on that one is Jared Gordon and Charles Oliveira. I like Jared Gordon a lot. A good dude that's had a crazy story, man. But Charles Oliveira is a kid that I've always been really, really high on. I mean, yeah. From the time he first came into the UFC, which at this point – Good Lord, man. We got to be talking about almost 10 years at this point that he's been in the UFC, man. And I remember from the very beginning seeing him and just going like, this kid is special, man. He's special. And he's had some definite hiccups along the way, man. And his insistence on going back down to featherweight, I just never understood, man. The dude is big, man. He's like 6'1". And yes, he's skinny, but he's not 145 pounds skinny.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's finally, you know, it seems, embracing the lightweight division. And his submission game is off the charts, man.
It's 9 years and almost – 9 years and like 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a decade.
UFC on Versus.
Too. Crazy, man.
Versus. People don't even know what Versus channel is anymore.
That is true, right? There are people that have no idea what you're talking
UFC
about.
UFC on Versus 2 against Darren Elkins. He made his UFC debut.
Yeah, that would have been in Colorado, I believe.
August 1st,
Jones versus Manny. So that was in Colorado. And then Marquardt versus Paul Harris. That was in Austin, Texas, if I remember right. So, yeah, man, I thought this guy was at both of those. I was at both of his first two UFC fights, which were only about a month and a half apart. And I'm like, this kid is special, man, and he is special, man. I don't know if he's going to be UFC champion, but I'm glad he's embracing the lightweight division, and I think this is a big fight with Jared Gordon. So these top three fights, to me, I'm really, really excited about. Those will be on ESPN Plus.
You know who headlined that UFC on Versus card? John Jones and Vladimir Matyshenko.
Oh, I remember it
fucking,
well. Man.
Was a janitor, right?
Yeah, the janitor.
The janitor.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, he was another character, man.
He was,
larger than life.
Matyshenko was awesome, man. He was just a tough little Russian dude, man. He was.
Yeah.
So those are the fights I'm most keyed about on the main card. James Krause versus Sergio Moraes on the prelims. I mean, that's a good fight right there for sure. James Krause, such an interesting character. He's such an interesting part in his life, where he's kind of got this balance between coaching and fighting, and he's only fighting once a year.
Yeah, he's almost more involved as a coach now. You see him a lot of times with a lot of these fighters, and I mean, he's the kind of coach that you would think would do very, very well, having the history of fighting. And but watching him, he's been, I think he's still with the Australian
Megan Anderson. Yeah, of course.
Like watching him help shape her, and she's becoming more of a beast. You know,
oh, he gets way more pleasure out of coaching than he does fighting.
I think so.
There's no question.
I think so. That's got to be something, though. I mean, be able to find something that you're really good at, but then be able to, maybe if you don't make it there yourself, but be able to impart that knowledge and watch somebody grow exponentially after what you're doing. And yeah, I mean, you can see him get into it, you know, watching it. But yeah, he's fun. He's fun to watch as a coach. He's fun to watch as a fighter. But yeah, he's almost funner to watch this transition into a coach that's
really
kind of taking place. Yeah.
And then Sergio Moraes, so no joke there. Sergio Moraes, tough on the feet, but obviously just a submission machine.
Yeah, that's a happy dude,
man. He comes out to the Pharrell Williams song,
yeah.
Happy, and he's dancing, and he's fun. So I really like that fight. A couple little nuggets too. Again, I mean, there's a lot of Brazilian names on here. Kind of like there were a lot of Russian names last week, but we ended up getting a pretty good card.
Yeah.
Again, the prelims: Bobby Green versus Francisco Trinaldo. Love Bobby Green, man. That dude is he's a character, and he's a showman. You know what I mean? You know, he's not always the most easy guy to deal with. He's got a little temper, you know. But man, he's fun, man. He puts on a show. And Francisco Trinaldo, man, that guy is no joke. And Warley Alves versus Randy Brown, man, I think that's a good fight.
That could be fun.
I think that's going to be really good. So those two fights right there, I'm really, really keyed up about. And then the one that's sticking out to you as well, I mean, look at Henan Barão way down there on the prelims, third fight up from the bottom.
Wow.
Henan Barão versus Douglas Silva de Andrade, which, by the way, Douglas Silva de Andrade is a little tank of a human being, dude. He's just a little tiny dude that's all just yoked up. With a sick career record, and man, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Henan Barão, man. I like him.
He's always been a really good,
super nice dude. And you know what? Shout out to Fernando Praches, who at the time was working for the UFC, came to work for us at MMA Junkie, and is now working with for The Athletic. But she actually helped me one time sit down and do, and she translated. Obviously, she has phenomenal English and Portuguese. And she knew Henan's backstory a little bit, and it hadn't really been told a whole lot because he didn't like to talk about it. But we sat down and talked to Henan about, you know, how he was basically raised by his grandmother and sold vegetables to help take care of the family that had like 12 kids. I mean, just like literally came from nothing to be a UFC world champion. And I know he gets shit on because, you know, Dana called him number one pound for pound and the whole Hinnan Burrell is a monster promo. And you know what? It's, man, it.
He was a monster.
He was a monster. And that's what I hate. It's so easy to rewrite history and then to talk shit about somebody. Like, that dude came from nothing, like, yeah, from absolute nothing to accomplish something incredible in the world. And I don't know, man. I've read a lot of the pre-fight stuff, even on our own site, man. I mean, you know, no disrespect to Dave Doyle, because to be honest, man, he's being honest, and that's what he's here to do. But in his preview that I was editing today, you know, he's like, look, if Hinnan Burrell, you know, loses, they got it. It's time for them to cut bait with them. And it's hard to argue with that, man. But at the same time, it's just so – I just hate when people are so callous about it and
talk
shit.
He's on a four-fight losing streak. He had a win before that and two more before that. I mean, it is – I mean, you're right. I love Hinnan, man. Like, all the times we've covered him, there were so many times I can't – he'd come over and he'd have a smile and he'd say hello and then I'd want to talk more and you could see that he wanted to engage more.
And you can't.
And you can't, you know, and it's just like, man – yeah, so I mean, I love what he's given to the sport. I love the effort he's put out there in his fights. But yeah, it's hard to look at the fact that if it wasn't for that, and if it wasn't a former champ, we got to realize the fact that he might have already been cut,
mm-hmm,
with the record that he has coming in. So there is no shame in that. I mean, I don't like hearing it, but I can't argue with it either.
That's it.
So.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mean to be rude because it's true, it's accurate, but it just sucks. But I will say, like, the people are like, oh, he was never that good. He was like, dude, he had an amazing record. You know,
yeah.
I will say he lived on the edge. There were a lot. It wasn't like he was dominating people. You know, he was having some close fights along the way on that winning streak.
But he was winning.
So anyway, that's that fight. All right, let me ask you about shows. Artem Lobov, Jason Knight 2. You tuning in on Saturday night?
No, because it's a pay-per-view that I'm not going to get money reimbursed back for.
Well, I mean, with the palatial grounds going up 20%.
I know. I got to save all my money for my new rent. No, I mean, I would like to watch that, but yeah, I'm not gonna pay pay-per-view for it.
$30 this time.
Yeah, it's pricey. I mean, because I don't. I'd have to look at the card to see if I – even if there was another one or two fights I wanted to see, paying $30 for essentially, in my mind, one fight, I can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be good, but who knows? I mean, that first fight was epic between the two, and we might not get anything close to that fight. And then, boy, wouldn't that be a big downer to pay that much money and then get garbage? Not to say that these two guys aren't going to go in there and not try to bang. I think they set the bar really high, so I can only imagine that they're going to try to go in there and do it again.
I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan.
I just can't pull my wallet out for that one.
I'm not a huge fan of the bare knuckle boxing. I'm not trying to disrespect it or disrespect them. I'm just not a big fan of it. It hasn't grabbed hold of me just yet, and I don't know what it is, but it's just it doesn't. I don't know. And it's not like, oh, man, there's too much blood. I mean, whatever. I'm kind of used to blood. I mean, I don't think we need blood just for the sake of it or whatever. Maybe that is part of it. Just I feel like people cut too easily without the glove on there or what have you. Look, Artem Lobov and Jason Knight are going to go throw down. But it is tough. Anytime you have an epic first encounter, right, it's tough to guarantee that second encounter is going to be the same just because every fight is different, right? But,
yep.
I mean, if there were ever two people that I was going to bank on
to
deliver again, it'd be those two, right? Because, like, you know every time those guys come to fight, like, they're coming to bang. So I believe it could be good, but yeah, I probably won't. I mean, I'll be working on the other show anyway, so I won't be able to watch it. But just a reminder because we don't – I mean, those are two names that I think, you know, people of the MMA fans and, of course, Roadshow fans would definitely know. I mean, those are two of our favorites, man, and they're going at it again.
Yeah. I mean, even you think back, and I brought up the Shogun and Henderson fight. First one was absolutely epic. The second one was good.
But it wasn't epic.
It wasn't crazy.
Like, I mean, it had like an insane ending, and like I'll never forget that night. I was writing the retirement story.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
it just wasn't. It just didn't feel the same as like the first one. The first one was just whatever. So, yeah, I assume it's going to be fun because I don't think Jason Knight knows how to fight any way but one particular way, and that's 110% forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we saw Artem fight Paulie, he was more reserved in that particular fight, and I think he was just because there was a lot of respect shown when it came to the striking of Paulie and what he thought he was going
to
bring.
So he didn't know what to expect.
He didn't know what to expect, so he didn't really go all full choo-choo train like he could. But
Siberian Express.
He knows what's going to go on with Jason. So, I mean, I imagine it's going to be full board for him, and that should be a lot of fun. So I'm just not going to pay for it.
I get it. All right, listen, a couple last notes here.
I can't believe you skipped over that you didn't let Cold Coffee do his perv moment and talk about the hot chick fight.
I didn't even know. I didn't know. What else is on there? I don't even know. Tell me about it.
Macedo and, well, one.
Oh, on the UFC card.
On the UFC card.
Okay, my bad. I thought you were talking on the.
No, you skipped the two big stories.
Because I was trying to save you from looking like a perv.
But one, Tracy Cortez, remember, she told her story that, you know, Dana was like, I have to get this girl on here. So I'm excited to see her go out there and fight. But yeah, of course, the one before that is just fucking hot chick fight. So, yeah. I'll leave it like that. I won't go too pervy, but yes. I mean,
Lipsky and Macedo is a pretty hot chick fight.
Hot chick fight. I mean, and if you doubt me, Tapology used some good pictures. Just go and look at their fighter picks on that. It's pretty hot. But yeah, the Cortez, I'm looking forward to that. But if you go back and
all right, from now on, here's what we're going to do. If you pick a hot chick fight, then you have to pick a hot dude fight as well, just so you don't look like a sexist bastard.
Let me look real quick.
I mean, James Krause is a handsome man.
James Krause is a hot. He's a good looking dude.
I mean, you're kind of a beard guy, so maybe Paul Craig's more of your thing.
But I'm a homer for Hua, man. I'd easily.
Hua's a very handsome man. You know, every time I'm around Shogun Hua, I'm like, dude, I forgot how good looking he is. He's just a handsome dude.
All right, well, we can go with the Sergio, the happy guy, and James Krause. There's your hot guy fight. there's one for everybody.
Just to prove that we're not sexist. Yeah, that you're not a pervert.
But yeah, that Tracy Cortez, man. Go back and watch
she did have a great story.
The contender stuff, and just watch to see. And you can find that shit on. All that stuff's on Fight Pass, right?
It's on Fight Pass. Right?
Yeah, go back and watch it. Watch the pre-fight story about it.
Don't sell it short, right? Remember the girl that she fought, Maria Agapova?
She had a good story.
An amazing story as well. And remember, Dana
wanted
was like,
to sign
just
both
just
of them.
Both.
He wanted to sign both of them. So it's interesting, and that wasn't that long ago when that fight happened. So it's good to see the quick turnaround to get back in here and fighting. So yeah. So, all right, I just had to make sure, you know, for the guys, you know, out there, we got to give a little something for the guys and the ladies now. For the ladies, go check out the James Krause fight and Sergio Moraes, even though there are some other good-looking fellas on there. that gets the Cold Coffee stamp of approval. And for the men, that fucking Lipsky-Macedo fight is gangbusters.
That's like they got Sapphire, and then they got the Sapphire for women or whatever.
There's that the OG, I think, is the one on Boulevard across from Dino's, which is a fun little bar if you guys ever come and want like a dive bar fun experience. Heading towards downtown, the whole Fremont experience.
Oh, the little club across the street? I've never been in there.
The one across the street, the OG, the strip club. I haven't been in there either, but I think one of the floors is dudes. So for the ladies that want to come, they can go to the – I don't know if it's the second floor or third floor or whatever. But the other floor is girls, but they also – they're catering to
the
women.
That's
cool. Yeah. So
or even if you got like a group, maybe like the group, you're like, hey, look, guys here, girls here, we'll meet in 2 hours or something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, strip clubs are too expensive.
Everybody go out.
But that's cool that, I mean, if there's a place, I mean, at least they're trying to take care of everybody.
I dig it.
But go check out Dino's, though, if y'all come into town. Dino's is a fun little spot.
Dino's is fun. Hit us up if you're in town. We'll definitely
meet you. Yeah, we'll come meet you.
We'll come meet you. I promise you, we will come meet you. Like, that's not strip prices, dude. Like, it's like, you know, $1.50 beers.
And
like,
if you get a PBR, you order a PBR, and underneath the bottle caps, there's playing cards. So say like, and what I mean by that, there'd be like a four of diamonds or, you know, a 10 of hearts or whatever. And if you guess the suit, so if you guess the hearts, the diamonds, the clubs, the spades, you get your beer for free. What I was told back in the day is that if you guess the number as well, you got a bucket of beers. That probably got expensive, so they stopped doing it. Or maybe just people just took too long. So now they're just like, all right, just pick a suit. So go there. You can sing some karaoke on the weekends. It's a dive bar, and you're paying cheap prices. But order PBR.
And you got a 1 in 4 chance of getting a free
beer.
You get
a fucking chance of getting a free beer.
There's nothing better than like
no one else is going to tell you. See, that's some Vegas tips.
That's
right
some
there.
Vegas knowledge right there. There's nothing better than when you're hanging out with somebody and they like go to buy a round of beers and they come back and they're like, it was free. Yeah. Like, I got every one of them
like,
right.
That's
here
pretty
you go.
Awesome.
All right. A couple last notes. Wrapping up with the Latchkey Brewing today with the Doppeldecker, which I think is like a play on a double decker or something. Doppeldecker. It's a Doppelbach.
I was going to say, yeah, it's probably a Doppelbach.
Yeah, it's a Doppelbach. It has rich, deep maltiness, caramel toastiness, and deep red-brown color with a soft finish. And Cole Coffee is just all like, about the soft finish. That's really what matters to
me. I do,
him.
Unless I'm finishing myself, I go pretty hard.
Oh my goodness. All right, listen, it's definitely getting time to wrap up. You can tell that these are getting a little bit stronger at the moment.
Did I tell you I'm going to the air show this weekend?
No, I was going to give some shout outs for what we got coming up for next week, because we're not going to do an and a half this week since we're not actually there. I'd hate to just wrap up the Brazil edition, but no, tell us what you got going on. What do you got going on this weekend?
I have my sister and brother-in-law in town, so I've been able to spend some time with them on and off throughout the fight this week. I said fight week. It's like every week's a fight week this week. But we are going to – Nellis has their aviation show this weekend. So for those of you that like air shows, Nellis puts on an awesome air show. And that happens to be this weekend. So I'm going out there. So I'm super stoked to go out there and see a bunch of the old vintage planes. And they have a bunch of the new ones too, like the F-35. And you're going to see some Raptors. And then you see, of course, the Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds are based out of Nellis. So I'm looking forward to go there and spend some time there with the family.
Nice.
And speaking of family, because I keep forgetting, but I have a brother that lives in that state that I don't like to mention, but I will mention Michigan. But most people wouldn't know if I said Michigan what that means, because in Ohio we like to take the M off of it and not say things that start with M. But my brother works up there, and he told me in the past that there's actually some roadshow listeners and some junkie fans that live up there. So I wanted to – it's been long overdue, but I got to give a shout-out to Jeremy, Ryan, and Brandon, the Beast Noble, which Brandon actually –
fights
Brandon
at WXC,
actually fights.
WXC, yeah, on Fight Brandon Pass. Speaking
fights.
Of Fight Pass.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So thank you, guys. This is a long overdue shout-out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following MMA Junkie. Super thank you if you made it all the way past my perv talk at the end of the interview, at the end of the podcast to get the shout-out. But that's a long overdue one that I told my brother I was going to send probably 6 months ago, and I spaced out on it. So I'm glad to right that wrong. So thank you guys for listening.
I dig it.
Even though you're in a shitty state.
Oh, wow. Just throwing them down.
Moved to Ohio.
I dig it. Just FYI, I will be burning some vacation days next week. I'm going to take the week off. I'm just basically trying to burn through my vacation before the year ends. But I'm going to be up at Joint Base Langley Eustis out in Virginia for CFFC 80. It's a Fight for the Troops event.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll be on the call for that, yeah, but I'm super excited, man. A Fight for the Troops. So those are always fun. I've done a couple with the UFC, of course, obviously as a media member, not as somebody calling the fights.
Yeah.
But I'm super stoked for that. CM Punk and Jessica Penne will be out there with me, as they always are. They'll be on the mic with me. I'll try to grab them for an interview. I'll be honest, I feel weird asking them to come on the podcast because, like we're there working for somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not media. Like, I know that sounds bizarre. Because, like, if it was just, like, us at an event, like, I'd definitely, like, hey, come on, sit down and interview. But
I bet they would do it. I mean, you're besties with old CM. You're like, come on, Phil, buddy.
We'll see. We'll see how they do.
So, yeah. I'm glad you guys are going out there. That's cool. I'm glad
cool.
They're doing some of the fight. All the fight for the Troop shit is awesome, because you're talking about some fans that dig what is going on when they're there. They are so into it in the end. Which is awesome. And before I hand it back to you, thank you for all the veterans that might be listening to this, for your service. We just had Veterans Day this past Monday, so this is our chance to say thank you for that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the only thing I was going to say, just to add to that, is, you know, this is the same base that the Junkie Radio crew has gone out there several times to.
They're going out there again soon.
I think they're going to be out there this
secret.
Week. No. Well, I think they're trying to do another thing, but I think they're going to be there this week. I think they may. They're still finalizing details, but I think they're going to be there this week too. So if they do, then I'll try to grab them too if they're out there on Thursday night, and we'll sit down and do a little road show, do a little cross branding, a little MMA Junkie Radio, MMA Road Show.
See if you can get the base commander on there. That won't happen.
I was like,
that won't happen.
So we'll do that. So that's what's going on. But bottom line is, even though I'm on vacation, even though I'll be doing some commentary, you know we're still going to have some fresh content, because that's what we always do. Real quick, if you made it this far, thank you very much. Let me just say, if you don't mind, spread the word about us. We would appreciate that if you can log in to podcast, not iTunes anymore,
Apple Podcasts,
and rate us and review us. That would mean a lot to us, so we always appreciate the 5 stars, and we appreciate any feedback. And if you want to join it to the next level, patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Anybody that wants to help financially support the podcast there, that would mean a lot to us. It does take us a little bit of money to get this thing done, so we appreciate any assistance on that side. I'll be reaching out to those people. I want those folks to have a little bit more direct involvement in how this thing goes moving forward, so I'll be reaching out to those folks directly through Patreon. So if you want to do that, take it to the next level. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Meanwhile, for everybody else, let me just say, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.